this time on Worldwide KFUO. It's a Thursday, and this part of the morning, we go historically speaking. And Dr. Daniel Harmelink is in from ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Good morning, Buzz.
Good morning. We have plenty of things going on. It's getting hot, and that means in the history books, it's a hot time of year for many topics.
It's a hot summer and a good season to do your summer reading. We had talked about that last week. So, again, there's a new book out by the founding director of St. Andrew's Reformation Studies Institute in Scotland. His name is Andrew Pettigrew, and he's written a book called Brand Luther. Good read, and it talks about not only Luther, but the Reformation and the use of things like the printing press and the problem with the Turks and things like that. So, new book out. It's gotten great reviews. Again, the title is Brand Luther, and great summer reading, historically speaking.
It looks good, and so... Andrew Pettigrew, is that right?
Pettigrew, P-E-T-T-E-G-R-E-E. So a date's coming up that's arguably as important as October 31st. Everyone knows in the Lutheran Church that October 31st is not only Halloween, right? It's Reformation Day.
Right.
But there's a date coming up that we should be equally aware of and equally study as far as our great heritage as Lutheran Christians, and that is June 25th.
Let me go here just for a second. We have some music that we play here every now and then by the Augustiner Choir.
Oh, that's fitting.
Yeah, so this would be something, if they know their history, the relate is, Augustana is?
The Book of Concord, the AC, or if in Latin, sometimes it's CA. Right, but there's a Augustana College in Rock Island, I think.
That's right. That, yeah, up that way.
I know they that that's Augustana College because that points to the Augsburg Confession. Also, if you're LCMS, if you've memorized all of the names of LCMS congregations, you'll know that there are two LCMS congregations that are called Augustana Lutheran Church. One is in Alexandria in Louisiana, and the other is in North Carolina in Hickory, Augustana Lutheran Church. So it means something, right? It's not only to those congregations, but also to us as Lutheran or Protestant Christians. So June 25th, 1530, the Augsburg Confession was presented to Charles V. And so sometimes we talk on the program about, you walk up to someone and you ask them, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? And they say, why, sure. And then you ask, can you name any of them? Or do you believe in the Bible? Well, of course I believe in the Bible. Have you memorized any of it, right? Do you believe in the Apostles' Creed? Can you say it by heart? So we as Lutheran Christians, do we believe in the Augsburg Confession? You probably get well, of course we do. That's one of our foundational documents. Have you ever read that? And so now is a good opportunity in your summer reading to take another look at the Augsburg Confession, to study it, to again, make it your own again. There's a great published edition of the Augsburg Confession in this book called The Book of Concord. You can get it from CPH for, 30, 35 bucks? A fantastic investment, not only for the text, but also for the introductions, the historical introductions that are included. So it's interesting, this year, in 1530, when the Augsburg Confession was presented to the emperor, it was a Saturday, and the 25th falls on a Saturday this year, too.
Ooh. So nice coincidence.
How about that?
Yeah.
So 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Chancellor Christian Beyer walked towards the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V, and began reading the Augsburg Confession in a loud and distinct voice. There were about 200 people in the room, plus I guess the windows were open, or people from the outside could even hear his reading of that. It took about 2 hours, and Charles V wanted it read in Latin. They had prepared versions of the Augsburg Confession in German and in Latin. And guess which one Charles V wanted? He wanted the Latin version. But the Lutheran princes said, well, you're on German territory here in Augsburg, and so we're going to read you the German version. So at the end of the reading, both copies were given to Charles V, but the German version has the distinction of the one that was read. So this not only confesses the Lutheran Church, but also defends some of the defaming rumors that were going around as far as what the Lutheran Christians believed. So in that way, it's also an apologetic work or a defense of what Luther and the Reformers really believed. There were people in the Roman Catholic Church that were trying to make Luther, you know, the most extreme heretic, radical when it came to his theology, and the Augsburg Confession cleans that up.
I looked through this in a little bit while we were preparing to do the segment here. Mm-hmm. And for example, I think probably even today, if you looked at, I'll just throw this one up here, Article 25 of Confession, it would make perfect sense, at least the version that you read in English, compared to what was going on back then. Even today, it makes historical sense that it says confession in the churches is not abolished among us. And then the next part says, but of confession they teach that an enumeration of sins is not necessary, and that consciences not be burdened with anxiety to enumerate all sins, for it is blah, 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 blah. Well, if you read into it a little bit deeper, it's pretty interesting to say, yeah, it really hasn't changed much in 500 years.
No. And the tone of the Augsburg Confession was the Lutherans didn't want it, you know, just pour gas on the fire. So they say, you know, these are areas where we agree. Now, these are areas that we do not agree. And they wanted a dialogue, right? Unfortunately, they didn't get that. It was condemned and it was, misrepresented to the point that there was also followed an apology or a complete unpacking of the Augsburg Confession. So the apology of the Augsburg Confession is much longer because, again, you know, it's taking up points that are either misrepresented by the opposition or just patently untrue. But the Augsburg Confession, again, it's foundational to our understanding of what Scripture teaches. And, you know, going through confirmation class, I just had a discussion about this with a local pastor. He said, you know, in a perfect world, as the small catechism says, the small catechism is to be taught by the head of the household, right? By the house father. And wouldn't it be fantastic if that teaching, that catechesis was already going on in the home so that when it came to confirmation for teenagers, they could go into things like the Augsburg Confession. That's probably not realistic these days, but what a fantastic thing if that could be possible to dig even deeper into the truths of the Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. I brought the agenda that is used when a pastor or a certified church worker is installed, and the Augsburg Confession pops up there too. So what kind of things is the candidate asked as someone is installed, either as a pastor or a deaconess or a certified teacher? More than just, will you be a nice person? They are asked, do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice? And then the candidate answers yes. And then the next question, do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scripture? And do you reject all the errors which they condemn? And then again, yes, I believe and confess these. And then the question, do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrines of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the Small and Large Catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called Articles, the Treatise on the Power and the Primacy of the Pope, and the Formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith. And then, yes, so there's that little word, unaltered, Augsburg Confession. So I ask people, when you go to these historic Lutheran churches in Perry County, for example, or in St. Louis or on the East Coast, you will often see in the cornerstone chiseled, right, that it would be a permanent witness, these letters, UAC. And so people are thinking, what is that's United American Church. No, that's unaltered Augsburg Confession, that this was the confession of the founders of that congregation. And if you take a look for that, you can see that on many of the historic Lutheran churches in North America. Unaltered Augsburg Confession, which means that, wait a minute, is there an altered Augsburg Confession?
That is a great question.
Unfortunately, yes. And it was good old Philip Melanchthon who had second thoughts about, if we were just a little, if we compromised just a little more theologically, then things would fall into place a little better and there wouldn't be this animosity around. And so he altered the Augsburg Confession and actually printed it with his name on it. At least he was honest enough to say, hey, this is the version that I've changed or confessional Lutherans would say adulterated. But he put his name on it. So when we as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Christians, when we say we believe in the Augsburg Confession, when we honor what God in his grace and mercy did on June 25th, 1530, we're talking about the original version, not the doctored up later version of the Augsburg Confession.
So he issued the apology, but is what it comes down to.
Yeah. So Luther wasn't there at the presentation. He was still branded an outlaw. So he had to hide out in the Coburg Castle. He not only grew a beard when he was holed up in the Wartburg, but also at the Coburg while he was waiting to see how the Augsburg Confession would be received by the Roman Catholic authorities. Again, there was a price on his head. So Melanchthon was there. The Lutheran prince was there, some other Lutheran theologians from Wittenberg, but Luther, it was too dangerous for him to be in Augsburg at the time of the presentation.
So let's see here. We're moving quickly. That's what, 2 days away from that?
2 days.
And do we have anybody reading it that we know about? I mean, that's kind of one of those questions in the back of my mind. You said it took about 2 hours to read it. Then, have you heard anybody schedule that across our world today?
Well, it's
something someone might consider doing.
Yeah, I think so. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we want to get this into the hands of more and more people. And so does CHI. You know, it's a historical document. It's a foundation of our Lutheran faith. CPH has, if you go to bookofconcord.org, you can not only, there are Bible studies online, but you can... They have the means that you can download the Augsburg Confession onto your smartphone. So now we're in the 21st century, right? So no longer can you say, well, I'll go back to my home or to my study and look that up. You can have the Book of Concord on your phone. It's just a click away.
Well, speaking of a click away, people want to find you and what's going on at Concordia Historical Institute and some of the things you study. It is the web address of?
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. We're on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're not shutting everything down for the summer. We're open. We only have a few more days until the Papua New Guinea exhibit closes. So you've got until July 1st to come and check us out, not only on the web, but also on the campus of Concordia Seminary.
Okay, Dr. Dan Harmelink, we'll talk to you next Thursday on His Time.
Blessings.
Blessings. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org to find out more.